in my brother's 45 collection was an early indicator for me that something special about it. It was this little plastic kind of yellow, strange contraption that it was kind of had its like secret compartment that kind of opened up, and these records were in there, and me and Zali used to sit there and play them over and over all the time. It just became kind of an integral part of hanging out and playing with this rock, you know. And we put on, you know, anything. It was all, you know, it was all strange, you know, the way the end of Hey Jude just kind of went on and on. You know, that next to Clap for the Wolfman by the Guess Who, and just listening to music all day, and it all just seemed to kind of flow together into kind of, you know, adolescence, and just always listening, always, you know, thinking about it, always commenting in your head about it. The thing that blows my mind about Tim is that he can just immediately hear the symphony that's supposed to be going on, you know, just all the just gigantic chords and just the flow of it just from kind of hints. And that's when I kind of realized, wow, this might blossom into something cool. And I showed that piece and a couple of other things, directions we were kind of going, to Scott, and he heard it, and he's like, okay, whoa, this is something real interesting. And that ended up being the first track on the record. That was kind of the doorway into it. And so I just kind of went at it, and it's really a quest, you know, this long, this stretched, or this squished, or this manipulated, to try to find a moment. And it always kind of seems to be, at least with that group of songs, it was that kind of beautiful, sad moment, or something, you know, not shed a tear kind of sadness, but it was just kind of that deeper, kind of longer sadness, kind of, you know, that just kind of goes through in and out of everything, that's sort of uplifting in an odd way. And Tim keyed into it immediately. Journey begins here. The guy is kind of questioning here, and he kind of, this is where, you know, this happens, and here there's a dramatic thing that happens, and he's going across the desert, you know, he's being chased, and Tim would be like, the camel chase, I got it, totally see it, it's the camel chase, you know, and he'd lay down this just ripping line, and then would just go from there, you know. It was always about the kind of the story unfolding, and, you know, everybody's story is going to be different on that, and that's kind of the fun of it. Pink Fuzz is very specific. Pink Fuzz is the cloth store in childhood, and the rolls, giant rolls of Pink Fuzz, and lying in between that roll and the Red Fuzz roll above it, feeling of safety and a feeling of excitement, and looking forward to the next time that I could go to the clothing store, or the cloth store, I mean, and see the Pink Fuzz, until the day that the Pink Fuzz roll was not there. Then it's a horrible, sad feeling, and it's so strong that I actually look for a roll of that cloth in every cloth store I go to, even though I know it's not going to be there. Mermaid and Pharaoh were never to meet. Old Pharaoh living it up in Egypt, and the mermaid living it up in Atlantis, wherever the hell that was. Old Pharaoh didn't know. I guess we're with him. Poor Pharaoh. I mean, maybe he saw her, like somebody came by with some weed paper. What was that called? Papyrus. Some picture. Check this out. Mermaid. Pharaoh said, I sure would like to meet her. So, dude, went back. No mermaid, no mermaid, no Atlantis, nothing. Gone. Well, that bites, said Pharaoh. That really bites.